Well, it is the Bob McCowan podcast, also heard on Sirius XM channel 167. Yours truly, along with John Shannon.
Robert.
The featured guest.
I'm more than a guest.
What are you then? Would you describe yourself?
I'm just here.
You're a sidekick.
I'm part of the furniture. I'm you know.
Well, I hope you're self-cleaning.
So does my wife.
Did you find a turkey yesterday?
No, I didn't.
Did you have meatloaf?
No, you know what I did? I was lazy.
You pizza. You want pizza?
Pizza.
You didn't go get it, did you?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
You cheap bastard. You didn't want somebody to deliver it to you for an extra $5?
Every dollar, Bob. Every dollar.
Penny.
That's right.
We're going to talk hockey. John Tavares is going to join us, the
captain
of the Toronto Maple Leafs. And plenty to discuss with him. They're in, San Jose?
San Jose for a big game tonight, and then they go to Anaheim for a big game on Sunday night. Interesting. Toronto Maple Leafs, Hockey Night in Canada. They're not together tomorrow night. On Saturday night.
No Saturday night game. It doesn't happen very often.
No, it doesn't. So the powers that be have scheduled Connor McDavid for the primetime game.
Well,
and they're in Vegas.
Well, that'll be okay. Vegas is always a good place to showcase. And Golden Knights need to play better.
Yeah, they do.
Before we get to Tavares, we haven't talked at all about the Matt's deal for the Blue Jays, the former Blue Jay. Matt signs a 4-year, $44 million deal with some bonuses that could take it, I think, to $48 million. And I guess the specifics, well, let me start with this. You wouldn't pay that much for him, would you?
Nope. And not that long.
Well, and I would say, considering you gave Robbie Ray, 10 last year?
Mm-hmm.
I might have gone to that number, but I would have done it only on a 1-year deal as Robbie Ray got, and then take my chances. There's no doubt this is a pitcher at a career year, but you got to be really careful in signing guys who have one big season, which takes us to Robbie Ray, and we'll get to that in a minute. But there is some significant panic is the wrong word, but concern among Blue Jay fans. If you watch all the social media about, who's going to pitch now?
Well, last I checked, Manoa, Berríos, probably Nate Pearson and Rio. So, I mean,
there's four.
Yeah. And we haven't considered Ray yet. And that's still an option. And by the way, these guys, Shapiro and Atkins, actually can go out and spend some money too and find some other body.
Yeah, except there's, four or five, more than five, significant starting pitchers, that some of whom the Blue Jays said they were interested in. Now, that can be a ruse, but they're off the board already.
Yeah.
So, you're going to have to get a little bit creative here. And trades are always a possibility, but free agents are, it's money. That's all it is. Do you suspect that with what's gone on at the headquarters of the Rogers Empire, perhaps there is less money to spend?
No, I don't for one second. I think Mark Shapiro has the liberty and the ability to do what he needs to do. In order to put this franchise in the right spot when pitchers and catchers show up in February.
If you're not willing to pay Matt's on a 4-year deal, why should you be willing to pay Ray on a 4 or 5 year deal?
So I've been thinking about this because we have done a really interesting job in the last 6 or 8 months of really hyping up Pete Walker and all this and Walker's role and everything. And
I believe in it.
Well, I think a lot of people do, and I have no reason to doubt it. So wouldn't you then suggest and say that in their decision-making process, Shapiro, Atkins, Charlie, wouldn't Pete be asked his opinion? Okay, listen here, you know, long term, are you more interested in making sure Ray's a better pitcher or Matt's is a better pitcher? And I think that, you know, these guys are so driven by information, whether it be analytics or somebody like Walker, that they made a calculated decision that they could go to a certain length of contract and a certain amount. And other than that, it just wasn't worth their while. And I think that, and they probably think it's worth their while for the Cy Young winner.
Well, if I'm the general manager or the president of the ball club, and I have any interest in the opinion of anybody, if we're talking about pitching, I'm going to talk to the pitching coach
right
before I talk to the manager.
Well, you need the manager. They should be one and one, eh? And they should be in the same room at the same time or on the same Zoom call.
I think the pitching coach is far more impactful. And especially Pete Walker, who has been around for a long time, a lot longer than the manager, who works with pitchers exclusively and has been a miracle worker in at least a couple of cases. And Matt's and Ray are evidence of that.
Yeah.
The two guys that are free agents.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm going to talk to them about it, but why would you give Ray 5 years? He's 30 years old.
Well, but we don't know that's the deal yet for sure.
Well, no, I bet
we don't know.
I suspect he's going to get five. Don't you? Maybe more.
Well, I don't think you can give. I don't think you can give. I mean, remember our pal Beeston used to have a rule, right?
Three.
Well, nothing more than five. Nobody was getting a 5-year deal with the Jays.
Pitchers three. Yeah. Everyday players five.
Five. Yeah. So I'm kind of that ilk as well. I wouldn't do it. One thing is that maybe with the Matt situation, maybe they really do believe in Stripling that much more too. Who knows?
Well. That's I find that mark. Suspicious.
I know.
Hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to some of the management of the Blue Jays, although I doubt they will be too talkative while the free agent fracas is still in play.
Yeah.
And are they limited by the CBA discussions, negotiations?
That's a really good question.
We'll address more of that a little bit later on, but the captain of the Toronto Maple Leafs is standing by, and he will join us in a moment, John Tavares. When McCowan and Shannon continue. He is the captain of the Toronto Maple Leafs, and they are on a West Coast swing that started very nicely the other night with a 6-2 victory over the LA Kings. The captain, John Tavares, is with us. Kind of an offensive explosion, but not a shocking one, because this is a team that we have always assumed is built on offense. But you guys have been playing I don't want to use the word conservative, but real good defensive hockey, not scoring a whole bunch. Can you explain when a team kind of explodes like that? Is there anything to it?
I think something like that happens. It usually is just things have been kind of building. I think we've been controlling play, creating opportunities, getting a lot of shots. And eventually, especially with the type of skill sets we have, type of players that, like you said, not surprising when we score in bunches. So it's just taken us some time. We've had to win some tight hockey games, defend well. When you build good habits and you play within the structure that we're trying to play and we're consistent with that, we don't deviate because things aren't going in as much as we'd like. Eventually it's going to pay off, just because I think you're playing well, you're doing the right things, and when you have the type of talent that we have, eventually it's gonna break open and have a night like we did last night.
This might be a difficult question. When you talk about structure, how would you define that structure?
With our team, I think we really want to control play. I think, you know, a lot's probably been made about the way Sheldon kind of approaches the game and the way Kyle's built the team. And I think that really plays to our strength. We have a lot of players that are obviously really intelligent, really skilled, very confident with the puck. We obviously want to control the game. But within that, at times when you're going to have to check, And you're playing against obviously some of the best players in the world, and some of the obviously great teams, great players. You're going to have to know how to defend that and the structure we want to be in, and really make people or teams come through all five of us. We know we got great goaltending, but it's not something we just want to rely on and kind of open the game up. I think we want to play, protect the middle of the ice. That's a big common theme that we talk about is five inside and protecting the middle of the ice and making teams come through us. And then how can we get to the middle of the ice offensively ourselves? And they work hand in hand. You know, when you're doing things really well on the defensive side of it, it's funny how things offensively seem to kind of come a little bit easier, more naturally. And then those opportunities, you know, from the middle of the ice, become more of the chances that you're creating. So it's a fine balance. It's something you're always fine tuning. You're always tweaking. You're always trying to perfect. You never always really quite get to where you want to be. So it's a never ending process, but that's what makes it a lot of fun, especially when we got the team that we have and you start having the success that we've been having.
Well, as you said, you're on a run. The last 16, 17 games, you guys have been probably the best team in the National Hockey League in terms of wins, losses, performance overall. But it didn't start that great. In fact, it started with a fair bit of panic outside the organization, you would have to concede. What was that like? Were you as shocked by the way the team played the first six or seven as everybody outside was?
Well, I don't think we expected to have those types of results or have some performances that were below the standard or, you know, subpar. I think with the way we expect of ourselves, and since I've been here, traditionally, we've gone off to pretty good starts. So it's always kind of been kind of common theme and expected. But within that, I think whether it was individually or as a team, there were some good things there that we were doing and just some areas that we really had to clean up. And, you know, we have some new players, guys finding their ways, finding their roles, getting comfortable within the system and within the group. And just seemed like things weren't going our way either early. And we just kind of had to stay with it, make the adjustments necessary and just know that as a team and individually, just we had to be better as a group and the way we had to approach it. But at the same time, we still had, I don't know, over 70 games to play. So it's just kind of knowing that things didn't start the way we want. You know, we had to have some urgency to get our game going and get on track. You don't want things to kind of continue to slide and dig a hole. But at the same time, we knew there's a lot of hockey left to play. And even still, we've only played, I believe, 21 games. So, you know, we got so much work left to do, so much hockey left to play, but we just have to stay with it, work through that and understand the areas we have to be better in. Because I thought training camp preseason went extremely well on many fronts. So I think we knew the capabilities that we have, and we just have to kind of stick with it. No reason to panic and use that adversity early on as something that we can learn from and grow from, which I think we've challenged ourselves well enough that we responded well.
Hey, John, you talked about changes in the roster. Do people outside the team, guys like us, do we understand how long it takes for guys to get, like Kasha, like Richie, like Camp, before he got hurt, to get acclimatized to the roster?
Well, I think it's impossible to predict. I think every situation, every scenario, each player, just the circumstances that go into it, the variables. I mean, it's not something you can always measure and kind of always truly compare. Everything is just so unique. So, I you know, I've been through it once myself. You know, there is a process there that happens, and sometimes things kind of click right away and help speed things up. But you know, the more you spend time somewhere, you only get more and more comfortable and only get a better understanding of kind of what you're dealing with and those circumstances and things. And I'm much more comfortable now than I am my first year. And you know, the type of year I had a really good year. My first year obviously was disappointing in the playoffs, but our team had a good year. And those are just things that, you know, even now I still just feel more comfortable with where I'm at in the group and what to expect on a daily basis. So yeah, there's always an adjustment period, and it's just very hard to determine why things happen quickly or more slowly, but yeah, it's just kind of nature of what it is.
You talked about adjustment that first year. Do you have a recollection of the moment you said, okay, I'm a Maple Leaf now and not an Islander?
The moment,
I don't expect it. It's not like golf where you know every shot. Yeah. But was it halfway through the season? Was it around Christmas time? Was there something that said and you went home to your wife and said, you know what? I'm here now. I'm happy.
Well, I was always happy, but I think my first game, probably a lot of anticipation, a lot of buildup for it. Whether on the outside, but even just for myself, it was a big change in my life, really significant in my career and something I was really excited about. And then when you really get to be out there for real for the first time, it was really cool. It was really special, very different being somewhere else for 9 years. We won. I got my first goal that night. So that was all kind of all just went to script and went really well. And it was just a great night overall. I had a lot of friends and family in the building. So it was, I would say that was it, just because that's the time things are really, truly different.
And as I recollect you, that you skated out with the C on your sweater, too. So it was that was a little different.
Yeah. Being named captain, obviously, for this franchise, the history, the tradition, the fan base is really remarkable. I think it's something that you still kind of have to kind of take a step back every once in a while and realize just what a tremendous honor that is, how fortunate I am, especially with the type of group, the type of leaders we have, type of people, and what the Maple Leafs mean to so many people, and to the city of Toronto and the community, and that type of impact. So, I saw it the other night, even when Dion came back and got honored, announced his retirement, and just he's in history as a Maple Leaf captain and did it for a long time, and just really see him reflecting back and how special that was for him, and just the way he's embraced by the organization, the fan base, and what that means. So pretty remarkable, and I know I'm enjoying every second of it and not taking it for granted.
With Leaf captain John Tavares, something tweaked with what you've said. I was thinking back, probably before your era, but certainly not John and mine.
That just means we're old.
Yeah, that's exactly what it means. A line was a line when I first started watching hockey. In fact, a bunch of them had names, nicknames. You knew who they were. They played together all the time. They weren't just the best lines. I mean, this is it. These three guys play with these three and these three. And that's gone. Everybody changes all the time. There are very few, if any, John, are there lines that stick together through an entire season? So I'm wondering, when change happens to you, when all of a sudden here's another winger that you've never played with before, and they put him on your line. And I know it doesn't happen every day.
Yeah.
Is that a big deal, or do we make more of that than we really should? In terms of adjustment for you.
Yeah. For me, I think it's something that you come, you get used to kind of over your career, especially depending on the way kind of things are going and, what the coaching staff is trying to get out of the group, or where things are kind of at. And each situation or every year is kind of different and unique. I think anytime you play more and more with somebody, no doubt you get a much more better understanding or comfort level of that player and that person, and how you can kind of get your games to kind of work together. But sometimes things don't quite work out right away, or they take some time, or things are a little bit more stale amongst the group or amongst your line, and things are so competitive. And obviously I think the way the game gets analyzed now is to a significant level because of analytics and all those types of things, and the way you can look at the game and break things down, or the way, people have come in and see things differently than 5, 10, 15, 20, even 30 years ago. So it's just kind of part of what it is, but at the same time, especially for my time here in Toronto, you get to play with so many great players, and you expect things to kind of change over the course of a year because it's such a long season, that you're going to need a spark, or something's just going to have to be changed and be different. Coach wants to try different combinations, whether it's preparing for the playoffs and seeing kind of making adjustments then when, you know, you know, everything is heightened and you the margin for error is so small, things like that. There's so much that kind of goes into it. You get used to it as a player, kind of expect it at times. And, you know, for a player like myself, I want to make my line mates and my teammates better and, you know, want to be a top end player, a high end player. So I want to try to make my wingers, or the guys I play with better and, find ways, to enjoy that challenge of getting the most out of your line mates.
Hey, ever talk a coach out of making a line change that you didn't want him to do?
There might've been a couple times in New York, maybe with Jack. I can't remember anything particularly off the top of my head, but, Jack used to come to me occasionally and just get your thoughts on certain things. I think Sheldon's like that as well at times, but at the end of the day, it's their decision and their call to, you know, you respect the coach and the coaching staff that they're going to do what's necessary to get the team to perform its best and try to push the right buttons. And it's up to you as a player to go out there and perform and find your way through whatever it is, whatever challenges or what that opportunity presents. So, but yeah, I mean, at times coaches, I think, have come to me, just get your feel for things and mostly look for you to make kind of the decision. So
do you use analytics? Do you yourself?
Occasionally, yes. Daryl Belfry has been big in helping develop my game. After my rookie season, I kind of started working with him then and, you know, whether we chat in the off season and kind of look back on the previous season or even things throughout the season here or even with what the team presents in New York too under Jack, there's different metrics that they used as from their side of it with communicating to the players and to the team when I was there. So there's different things you pick up here and there that maybe imply to your game or your skill set that kind of give you some influence and kind of how maybe the big picture is going, but can break it down into just some small habits, some small things that kind of can lead to, you know, more success, more opportunities and, you know, making a better impact out there.
We had Bruce Boudreau on the show a couple of days ago, and he was telling us and regaling us in stories about his relationship with one of his captains, Ryan Getzlaf. And there were times where they'd walk off the bench after the second period and the team had played really brutally. And Ryan turned to Bruce and say, "Don't come in." Do you view your role with Sheldon in a comparable manner, or how would, if you know you can manage it without Sheldon coming in and, you know, shaking a stick at somebody or kicking a garbage can, that's something as the captain you can manage?
Yeah, for sure. I think it happened once last year, similar kind of scenario. I think we were playing Winnipeg and we were getting towards the end of the year and it was obviously some big games for positioning and seeding and us trying to win the division and something that we talked about before that we wanted to accomplish and trying to prepare for the playoffs as well and getting the right mindset and the right attitude. So I'd say it's rare. I think especially with the type of team, the type of group we have, in the way we've been fairly consistent since my time here. Yeah, there's always, you know, once or twice a year, not always maybe exactly that. Last year there was, like I said, a situation that was very similar to the one you just described. So, but yeah, if there's anything I ever feel it's good to the players just handle, not just myself, but our leadership group and the veteran guys that we lead on, or anyone really, where we can handle internally. Definitely there's no problem in us kind of taking the reins and doing what we need to do.
With John Tavares, take a quick break. Come right back after these messages. Bob McCown, John Shannon, and the Leafs captain, John Tavares, is with us. One of the real stories of this year, I think you would concede, has been Jack Campbell and his performance. I got to ask you, did you sense any of this? Can you set when you see a guy that you maybe you've only seen a handful of times over the as an opponent, he comes into your room and you start practicing with him and he's not playing every night. Do you get a sense that, hey, this guy is really a lot better than I thought he was? Because this guy is really playing well.
Yeah. Soup's playing phenomenal. I mean, he is so locked in. He's so dialed in and there's so much confidence amongst the group with him between the pipes and and just the type of guy is, I think we saw a lot last year, the incredible run he was on, and what he did for, you know, franchise record, league record, and just kind of his game really started to kind of blossom and kind of finally kind of really was his coming out party. You know, I heard about him as a prospect and as a young goalie, he was, you know, highly touted, drafted high. Only knew that, you know, things have been a little bit bumpy for him. He hasn't really been, wasn't able to find his footing until, you know, before we traded for him, things were going, you know, he's really starting to get things to click in LA, and knew that he was a quality goalie. Hadn't really seen him a whole lot, but then when he came, and even before the pause in the season, the pandemic started, you just see the work ethic and the skill set and the talent that he had, and you're just really blown away. And then also just the quality person, just how likable, how easygoing he is. And so it doesn't surprise me then once you see kind of things start to snowball, and he catches some success, and everything else kind of starts to fall into place because of all those reasons that I stated. So yeah, we've been so fortunate to have a guy like him be our backbone back there, and to play the way he's playing helps guys like me not look as bad some nights. Yeah, we're really fortunate to have him. Just such a great guy. Can't say enough good things about him because of, you know, not just the talent and the ability, the work ethic, but just the quality human being.
It's interesting, you know, he and Bob and I've talked about this lots. I with all due respect to you and Austin and a lot of guys and Nylander, I mean, I think Jack's the MVP of the team this year. But the other story, the other goaltending story really is young Wohl, who, you know, the St. Louis kid who has played a couple of games for you, a shutout on the island. And so do you play differently in front of a rookie goaltender than you do a veteran goaltender that you have confidence in? Not that you don't have confidence in the young guy, but yeah. Jack Campbell creates a whole another level for you.
Well, you know, Jack's been through it. So I think you just mentally, the mindset's just maybe a little bit different, not in terms of the way we want to play it, but you want to remember we got a young goalie in there, just, you know, dipping his toes in here. He's playing his first few games on the road, back-to-backs, tough situations. You know, you don't want to put him in a spot where he's left out to dry and he's facing, you know, some of the best players in the world and just, you know, the quality of NHL hockey. Sure. Asking him to stand on his head, I think you want to build his confidence, you know, get him feeling comfortable in the game and understanding this is kind of what to expect and what's coming. And you know, great thing is when you see these opportunities for a guy like Waller is you really then get to see what his potential can be and the impact he can have, whether it's immediately in the organization or down the road. And we're finding out some great things about him and his growth and development this year, and seeing him being able to do it now at this level, not just in those two games, but even just the way you can tell he's coming to practice every day and being around this environment, how you start to adapt and mature and prepare and understand things, and then learning from Raz and Soup and being around them on a daily basis in the grind of the season. So, but I would just say it's just the mindset. Just, you know, you got a young guy in there. He hasn't been through this before, quite like Jack has, or Raz, and you know, it's important to just be aware of that, and we don't want to open the game up and ask too much of him as he's, you know, trying to find his way.
You mentioned him playing and getting a shutout in, or John did in, on Long Island. They love it when you go back, don't they? They give you the raspberry all the time. Yeah, that, you know, that's water off a duck's back, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I don't play there anymore, and I know how passionate and how much pride that fan base has, for their hockey team and their organization. So I don't expect it to be, not given a hard time, especially when you play somewhere for that long of a time. That, you know, 9 years, extremely special to me, means so much to me, and so many people that had such a great impact on me as a person and my career. And I've been on the other side of it, getting my name chanted or whatnot, and the type of support I had there. Sure. Was phenomenal. So, yeah, always a lot of mixed emotions when you go back and play against them. But you know, I just try to focus on playing the game. You just try to really break it down to as simple as possible and not get caught up and everything else, and just trying to focus on that next shift and what my job is out there and my responsibility and going out there and doing it to my best of my ability and just competing and kind of getting lost and playing the game and just doing what I love to do. And it is what it is. I understand, it was an extremely difficult decision when I made it, that not everyone was going to love my decision. So, a special place, to me, a great impact on my career and my life, like I said. So nothing but great things to say about my time there and playing there.
But you're a hockey geek. You're like the rest of us. I spent on many a night, John, at the Coliseum, actually probably before you were born. And then the trip to Barclays, and for somebody who was such an important part of that franchise and organization for a long time, there must be a little sense of a smile on your face to see that new arena and those fans be rewarded. And you know, Belmont's a cool spot now. It's not, we're not talking about parking the bus beside the garbage hopper at the end, and you're not having to go to play in the basketball arena.
Yeah, I think no doubt, ever since I was there and everything I learned from my time there, just how that was hanging over the franchise's head for so long, and just always created a little bit of doubt, within the fan base of what's going to happen next and where's the team going to go, and are we going to lose the Islanders? And that was just always kind of always lingering until something like this came along, and you have to give ownership credit and everything they did to, create a beautiful arena, a home that was built for them, obviously creates tremendous amount of stability and certainty. And obviously with a great team, a contending team, it's great for that fan base and that franchise. So it is great to see, because it wasn't easy at times. Always kind of wondering and thinking what's going to come next, what's going to happen, and not sure what's going to go on. But I will say, certainly, the Coliseum is and obviously was a special place.
Yeah.
I got to be on both ends of it. So I think I got pretty good perspective. But, first game there, first goal, tremendous playoff experiences, some great Islander Ranger games I got to play in. So, it's great to see that they got a home for the long haul and a franchise that has a tremendous amount of history and, pretty incredible what those teams in the 80s did. So I know how much pride that fan base has for that.
As a guy with the experience that you've had and having been a captain now of two franchises, I'm inclined to ask you about this head coach who keeps a fairly low profile, Sheldon Keefe, of course, I'm referring to. Now, I understand, Tavares, you're not going to crap all over your head coach.
Yeah.
I'm not stupid. But so tell me a little bit about, or the audience more importantly, a little bit about who this guy is and what makes him worthy of being an NHL head coach. Not that I'm suggesting he isn't.
Yeah.
What are his idiosyncrasies?
I think he's got a tremendous understanding of the game and his ability to articulate that to anybody, but certainly us as the players. And then also, with our team and how we want to play and how that all kind of connects and works together, his ability to kind of understand where things are at with the team, where we're trying to get to, the challenges ahead and obviously just the way we want to play, his ability to just, I think, articulate that, understand that and manage that, communicate those things and put that into action is pretty, pretty phenomenal. Special, I would say. I think has no problem thinking outside the box, looking at things a little bit differently, understanding the game, so some unique things to him. And the way, he has asked us to play or certain things within our structure that, I haven't done or haven't seen since my time in the league. And you can really start to understand why. And when you understand the why, it really makes things kind of click and understand and really puts a lot of belief behind that. So his ability to articulate those things and then help you understand it and really see what the vision is of the way we want to play or the way we need to play to have success and understanding the game is pretty remarkable.
You said that you talk to him occasionally, and we understand captains do that. Would you say he's a consensus maker? Does he, will he come to you or to others when he has an idea and say, what do you think of this?
Yeah, absolutely. I think he knows we're the ones out there playing, and there's always good to have that perspective and that understanding and sure. that feel for it. And just to kind of get inside our heads and get our feel for the game. You know, whether it's myself or Spez or even, you know, Mitchie and Austin and Mo and some of our younger guys and where they're at and just kind of try to connect the dots and make the best decision or get the best understanding as you can. So you can do everything possible to give us the best chance for success. So yeah, there's no doubt he'll come to all of us and get a feel for things and pick our brains and, or get some thoughts on maybe what he's thinking or what he's seeing and just get a feel for that.
When was the last time you were sitting on the bench and saw Austin with the puck on the ice and said, oh, wow.
Last night. he's an amazing talent. And I think, you know, his drive to get better and the detail he puts into his game is phenomenal. And it's fun to be around and it's very motivating to be around. It pushes you because you see what a great talent and someone who just doesn't take it for granted and who just really goes out there and enjoys playing, enjoys just being himself as well, but wants to challenge and push and be a great player and really wants to lead our team. And you just can really feel that and that continues to grow. And, you know, he had a remarkable season last year and you could really feel just him really start to grab the team by the horns and really just start to take it to another level. And I think he wants to continue to push that and challenging himself and challenging the group. And I think his maturity and leadership only continues to get more and more impressive and bigger and bigger of an impact. So yeah, it's been, you know, phenomenal for me because you get to go up against that every day in practice or you talk about things or you look at things and his drive to be a great player is exceptional. So a lot of fun to be around.
The thing I about Austin for me is I don't think, again, those of us outside the rink and not on the bench understand how big he is because he's a big man.
And he moves so well for his size, you know, obviously his puck handling obviously the uniqueness and the special quality of his shot and the things he's able to do there, but his ability to protect the puck and move and use his edges and do things like that and know that he has the size that can obviously impose his will or create time and space or make plays. He's got that continues to grow, I think, too, with his game and just really using that to his advantage. And he's definitely a big dude and is really, you know, really starting to use that to his advantage and how he can be so tough to defend on opponents, not just because he's got great hands and timing and release on his shot, but his ability to create time and space with those abilities and obviously his size.
Well, that's all well and good. But I mean, the truth of the matter is that he's been a huge disappointment. Guy scored 4 goals in his first game and hasn't been able to keep up that pace since.
So, yeah, that's tough expectations to set for yourself.
So. Well, you know, 324 goals in a season should have been pretty simple because you figure he's going to get better. You're not going to get worse.
Yeah.
Anyway, you got something else?
Well, I just the other guy that doesn't has had a great start to a season is Nylander. And there's a lot of people, I think, that think he's a bit of an enigma, but I don't think his teammates think he's an enigma, do they?
No, you got that right. I think Willie is, I love him. We're very different people, but we think things so much on the same line when it comes to the game. And I think just the quality person, and I think the work ethic and commitment that he makes every day when he comes to the rink, to try to work on his game, to fine tune things, to get better. And I really think this year, especially coming into camp and just getting a feel of the way he's carrying himself and the way he started the year, I really think he wants to embrace that leadership role so much more and really be a part of that and be a guy that's really leaned on in all areas, especially when things get tough and they get hard and we face adversity. You know, he's not just the guy that's going to help us score goals offensively, but contribute in all areas around the ice, and you know, all the intangible things in the locker room and in the gym, or the things that we go through trying to get better. He really wants to push and be there to make us a better team. And you know, he's very driven. He's very, very driven. And I see that, and I think it's a great quality of his that I think will only get better and better.
Last one from me. We assume the Olympic Games are coming up. Well, the Olympic Games are coming up. We're assuming that the NHL is going to go. And I think, as we all three and everybody out there knows, that there are some issues that have to be addressed. And at the end of the day, who knows? But there's a process ongoing. Where would playing in the Olympic Games again rank in terms of things you want to accomplish before all is said and done? Is this a big, big deal for you?
Yes, it is. I think on multiple levels. You know, for me, I had a tremendous experience and got to win gold in Sochi and was remarkable. But a little bit on the individual side, it didn't end quite the way I would have liked. I would have loved to have played, obviously, in the semifinal in the gold medal game. Mm-hmm. Got hurt and wasn't able to play, but I did get to play before that. I got, got to play on the Canadian Olympic team, the Canadian Olympic men's hockey team, which is, you know, so hard to make. And there's so many good players, and it was just remarkable to play in that best on best tournament, which is so rare and so unique. And as an athlete, there's really no higher honor or opportunity than the Olympic Games. So to get that chance again, knowing may not have another opportunity, there's no doubt I want to have another crack at it. There's nothing better than getting to represent Canada and your country, especially in hockey and the type of team that the type of players that we have. And like I said, how difficult it is to make that team. I really, really want to be a part of it. And those tournaments, the best on best, there's just nothing quite like it. I remember growing up watching Salt Lake and what a remarkable tournament that was. And dreaming about being a part of something like that one day, hoping that everything could work out. And I got to be a part of it once. So you just never take them for granted. And I know it would be a lot of fun to be a part of it. Obviously, it would be a much different experience. There's a lot of challenges. Like you said, I think a lot of things certainly popping up that are worthy of the question of, you know, where are things headed with the pandemic and the challenges that's presenting for the games and our participation. But certainly, I believe and hope that we're going to be there, and I would love to be a part of it. I know it's, I know we all love it when we get to see that tournament and you get to see the best on best playing for their country. It's pretty special.
And do you think most of your player teammates, even on other teams, feel the same way?
I think so. Yeah. I think certainly, you know, it's such a rare opportunity, such a unique opportunity. You know, they just don't come around, even with the challenges that we're facing. It's so rare. We missed the last one. And, you know, we only get so many of these. So to try to make it work the best that we possibly can, I think we have to. And obviously there's challenges, but it's such a special tournament to be a part of. It's so unique. And like I said, it's just so rare. So I know obviously Connor's talked openly about how bad he wants to be a part of it. I know how much Ovi loves going and being part of the Olympic Games. And I know Austin's really excited to have that opportunity to play at the Olympics and represent the United States. So I certainly think, especially from the younger generation that's coming, really want this opportunity badly.
And you know, you're going to go back into a bubble. It's going to be like you were in the bubble in Toronto, and they're going to treat you like that. It's going to be pretty tight security.
Yeah. I mean, obviously we're going there. It's not really going to be the true Olympic experience. I think we're going there to play a best on best hockey tournament. And that's what you got to look at it as, is you're trying to go win a gold medal and you're getting to play against the best countries and the best players in the world. And, you know, when you put the skates on and you hit the ice, that's really what you're there for. So that's what makes it special and why we love to play the game. All the rest of it is really special and unique, and it's something that we'd really want to be a part of, but we know will be very different or almost probably non-existent from that standpoint. So it just is what it is. We're in a very difficult time, obviously, around the world and what we're dealing with.
Hear, hear. Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed. A, that everybody goes to Beijing, and more importantly, that you get to go.
I hope so. Yeah.
Yeah.
John, are you a hockey nerd? Do you like on an off night, like last night when you're in San Jose, are you watching? No, there's no games on Thursday night, but on Saturday night between the San Jose game and the Anaheim game, will you try to find a game to watch, or are you looking at the stats and watching other teams play?
I would say less so than I used to. I definitely had it on every night. For a long period of time, maybe it's just because now becoming a dad and getting a little bit tired. I've just time to kind of just get an hour to decompress and make sure I catch up on my sleep and I'm getting ready to play. You take a little bit more time away from it, which is never a bad thing, but certainly even when I'm on the road, always tuning in, always checking the highlights or some of the goals that have been scored the previous night, always kind of tuning in there. And I certainly love it and the nuances of the game and, continuing trying to push my game because I would like to play for a long time and want to continue to play at a high level for a long time. Always making sure that, you want to be on top of what's going on and where things are going, trends are happening and understanding different things and what you can pick up. You're never too old to learn and get better. So, I'm very passionate about the game and love watching.
Well, Connor might be able to show you a few things, eh?
Yeah, I don't know if I can replicate those things, but no doubt. So,
well, listen, we wish you and the team continued success. We thank you very much for your time. You know that both John and I greatly appreciate it, and continued success. And hopefully, we'll have a chance to chat down the road. Thanks, John.
No, thank you both for having me. This was great. So, all the best, and have a good holiday.
The same to you. John Tavares, the captain of the Toronto Maple Leafs. We'll come back and wrap it after these messages. And we are back, and our thanks again to John Tavares for joining us, the captain of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Because it's funny. I met John, I think, 17 or 18 years ago for the first time. He was just a kid. Well,
you're name-dropping again. You've met a lot of people. We know that.
No, and the point was I never thought
he doesn't remember. You know that.
Of course he does.
He has no recollection of ever meeting you before.
I know.
He was just trying to be polite.
It was being nice. That's right. And that's, listen, I guess that's part of the story I'm trying to tell is that, you're always concerned that guy, he's soft-spoken, but boy, oh boy, he likes to talk. He had a good time.
It is interesting. There is something about this environment, I think, I find even more than on the radio, when all those years of being on the radio, something about this, people get comfortable. I don't know what it is. Now, we should tell people who listen to this as a podcast that we're all looking at each other.
Yeah.
We're all on a Zoom call together. You can watch it if you want. So you get, you get a feeling like you're in the same room with somebody.
Yeah. And the other thing
maybe that helps.
Well, and the other thing is that when when the interview is set up, we tell them that it's going to be 40 minutes. You're going to be with us for 40 minutes. So don't try to have quick questions and think if you talk faster, the interview is going to go faster. And so for them to agree to do the interview, I think that there's a mindset in the way they do things as well. I mean, the same thing happened when we had Jason Spezza on. We couldn't shut him up.
No, I know. It's the exact same thing.
It's kind of new. It's fun. He becomes a much more likable person, and I think he's got a good analysis of the game too.
Well, I hope everybody enjoyed it. You don't get the opportunity every day. And you know me,
you didn't like talking to athletes.
I still don't like talking to athletes, but I like talking to good athletes. Yeah. If all athletes were John Tavares, Jason Spezza type guys.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to find another
one. I talk to them all the time.
I'm going to find another one for you. So,
well, find another good one.
Yeah, I will. I will. We'll find a good one.
Don't find a crappy one because then I'll go back to where I was before.
Well, then you'll hang up on them. Yes, you'll put them in the black book.
You know, well, there are plenty of them in the black book.
Well, and your questions are getting better, Bob. It's good.
Well, thank you, John. I'm working hard at this profession, hoping to achieve some sort of success.
You might get on the radio one day. You never know.
There's no chance of that happening. Not as long as I'm attached to you.
Well, you might be on TV then, yeah.
Like my anchor. Can't move ahead, can't move back. Just stuck where I am. Embedded in a sea of sand.
What is it? Back in the middle with you.
Yeah. We got to get out of here.
Hey, have a good weekend, Bob.
Don't tell me what to do.
Okay.
And we'll come back with something else on Monday.
Well, we got some good stuff coming. So.
Oh, do we? You've talked to the producer, haven't you?
The producer's been a little sleepy the last couple of days.
So. You ain't kidding. Well, he came up with one today, so.
Yes, he did a good job.
We'll give him a break. And we had Gabby the other day, so that was okay, too.
Sure.
And Smith and Jones weren't bad.
Yeah. All of a sudden, the week was pretty darn good.
Well, it wasn't all that bad. Maybe it's the quality of the questioning rather than the quality.
Well, and the questions, Bob, are getting better.
Well, I know yours are. We got to get out of here. For John Shannon, Bob McCowan, have yourselves a swell weekend. If the crick don't rise, we'll see you on Monday. Goodbye.